May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1084. Our wretched, vile, ungrateful heart that can from Jesus thus depart, thus fond of trifles vainly rove, forgetful of a Saviour's love. 1084.
Let us read the word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61 and 62. The book of the prophet Isaiah 61 and 62, the chapters. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to appoint unto them that mourn, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, and shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for which thou hast laboured, but they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord. They that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And they shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us a true spirit of prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, we thank thee for this another opportunity of gathering with our friends around thy word in this thy house of prayer, thy sanctuary, the place where thine honour dwelleth. We can acknowledge this, Lord, we have proved it. We have wonderfully proved thy presence here. And Lord, we pray it may be so tonight. Do hear the prayer of the dear deacon, as we have heard before the service, and we know his fellow deacon, and we can understand his exercise even from the first hymn. And Lord, thou knowest we do see that those wonderful things that we have read of in thy word may be felt here tonight, may be known here tonight. O Lord, thou knowest how those things have been in our heart to ponder through the day and yesterday. Lord, how we do come to the people here desiring that thou would bless them indeed. There was wonderfully favour souls here, Lord. Not that it is one personally come, Lord, they have a faithful ministry. Thou dost send thy servants among them, Lord, they are well supplied with the preaching of the word. But all we do trust thou hast given us of thy spirit, Lord, for meditation and exercise. And we come to them, Lord, we hope with a message tonight that shall be applied and used by thee to each one in some way. Oh, do suit thy blessing, Lord, to each case here tonight. Thou knowest their state and their need. Oh, thou knowest exactly the detail of the cases, Lord, everything. Thou, Lord, dost know everything. We think of how Job acknowledged it. And Lord, oh, we pray that as this is so blessedly, wonderfully true, that the dear friends may be favoured to have thy favour of thy coming to attend to their cases. to do them good, Lord. May they be an exercise for the blessing of the Lord, seeking a portion for their souls. May there be meat in thy house tonight for precious souls. They shall feed upon the word, feed upon thyself. O Lord, do come and manifest thy favour here tonight. And in this way get to thyself, thou holy, holy, holy God, our great God. Honour and glory that is due unto thee. All honour and glory is due unto thee, not unto us, not unto us. But, O Lord, we do beg, there may be a wonderful favour felt, thy people blessed to enjoy salvation full and free in the house of God here tonight, to know and taste redeeming love, to know the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, to know that wonderful favour, the grant of the favours of thy grace, thy applying the remedy for sin to poor sin-sick souls, thy blessing those that are brought to feel so vile and unrighteous and unholy, to impute to them according to thy purpose, Lord, thy righteousness. Lord, thou hast all to give, and everything thou hast accomplished, Lord, do, and for the blessing of souls. Lord, we pray the dear friends here, there may be the favour felt, and I come in to bless, I come in to favour souls, to do them good, O Lord, and in this way too, as thou dost come into thy garden, down into thy garden to eat thy pleasant fruits, may there be those fruits appearing and the spices flowing out in the hearts and souls of thy people, blessed and favoured and given to acknowledge it, oh, praising thee in hymns and songs and spiritual songs, and having melody in our heart to the Lord. Oh Lord, do come, may the holy, wonderful power of thy holy love set our souls on fire, that we may be expressing in thankfulness and praise our love to thee. We love him because he first loved us. Lord, do come and so favour souls here tonight. Help them to leave all the things of time and sense behind, Lord, as it were. If knoweth we are concerned to remember and acknowledge that there are those here been in much involvement in needful things in their employment and their lives, Lord, their pathways are all known to thee. We thank thee that it is so favour them to be able to come to thy house. We think of the time when we were on the roads every day, and how we used to pray, especially on a Tuesday, Lord, do help me to get home so that I can get to chapel. Lord, some here have travelled much, thou knowest. Oh, we thank thee for the safe convoy of thy love to them. We pray, Lord, may there be now that they so long for their souls. Lord, oh, after all the things of natural things to come to the house of God, and Lord, may even this service tonight be a blessed preparation by thy working and thy Holy Spirit's working among us. It may be a preparation for the Lord's day. Oh, do, Lord, prepare us each for thy day. The favour of it, Lord, to so keep thy day, Lord, and seek a portion for our souls and to praise thee, Lord, our great God, especially remembering as we have to and do so much, think of it. Oh, there was not dealt with us after our sins. Our sins are still such a burden. The Lord, some of us are blessed to know and feel. There was blotted them all out. We pray, Lord, that our friends, each one, may be brought to this, to know that wonderful forgiveness and pardon of their sins. Oh, bring them into the blessing, Lord, that they shall look for their sins and they cannot be found. Oh, Lord, we pray that we set sinners at liberty, Lord. Oh, Lord, set burdened sinners free. Grant them the favour, Lord, to be in that favour that the apostle acknowledged after he had acknowledged his treachery of his own wicked natural heart and the difference between the old man and the new. So with the mind served by the law of God and with the flesh the law of sin. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Bring the friends to this, Lord. Oh, how many times that chapter is read. But, oh, Lord, bring the friends here into the blessed liberty of this favour, Lord. Them that are in Christ Jesus, confirm souls who are anxious and seeking thee and exercise, Lord, in burdened as sinners, feeling their guilt. Bring them into the favour to know that wonderful liberty, that wonderful favour, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Bless souls to know this favour, and being brought to be in the favour in Christ Jesus, and Lord, to know that wonderful liberty, that wonderful joy and peace in believing. Lord, hear us for all our friends, all the dear people here and many more. And Lord, we pray, Lord, do so bless and help thy people who are in affliction. Some have their affliction, their bodily affliction, some have mental affliction. We pray for all our friends who are in affliction. Do heal them, Lord, do restore them. And know in these things, Lord, of the affliction, of whatever it is, which is their lot, oh, sanctify it, sanctify them in and through it, Lord. Bless them, Lord. May there be that real profit. May there be that real restoring in body, mind and soul. Lord, thou knowest what is needed. Lord, we pray also for friends who have lost loved ones. Thou knowest how we especially are trying to remember our friends, the large family of our late dear friend David Crowder. Lord, do comfort them. And Lord, there are those that attended a funeral this week down at Braeburn, the dear people of Braeburn, and the relatives, the dear widow, their dear late friend. Oh, comfort them, Lord, with the comfort of thy love. Lord, the former week or more past, Lord, the friends of our dear friend, thy servant, his dear last brother, we think it was, dear Roger Woodhams. There's the family, Lord, in mourning. Do comfort them, Lord, do bless them. And our dear friend, thy servant, dear Peter, comfort him, Lord, in the favour of thy giving the grace as he has much. Oh, help him. Lord, I was thinking, thou knowest, my brother was taken. And I told one yesterday, I miss him every day. Lord, thou knowest. But, oh, we bless thee, thou dost make up all by thy blessed favour, thy presence, a husband to the widows, a father to the fatherless and the faint. O Lord, thy maker is thy husband. O Lord, so bless such in their widowhood and in their sorrow. Lord, oh, we solemnly think of it, of how we have had to prove it, Lord, the place that knew our loved ones knows them no more forever, those that are taken. And Lord, these are warnings to us. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Oh, how wonderful it is when we can feel that we are blessed to be being prepared for that eternal weight of glory laid up for us, so that we live with prospect of everlasting day. So, Lord, bless many, bless souls here with this. Oh, Lord, help us now. We cannot more multiply words. You know, with our burden, exercise and praying for our country and our prime minister and rulers. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, we come to the point in praying and begging thee that thou would, oh, so overrule for what is right. And Lord, that thy will may be done. This is all we feel we can say, Lord. But it is in our heart to so pray and cast it upon thee. Oh, Lord, still look in mercy upon our homeland, England. In wrath, remember mercy, Lord. And now with all the terrible things that are happening, all the terrible, fearful sights and news we hear every day, all the terrible days of our lives, and Lord, in the days of our lives, we are witnessing those things prophesied in thy word, that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Oh Lord, may we be on our watchtower. Oh Lord, make us right and keep us right. We pray this for every one of our friends. Hear us now, Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 617. The new man and the old by no means can agree. The one in sin is bold, from sin the other's free. The principles of grace and sin a constant warfare must maintain. 617.
Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the book of the prophet Isaiah, the chapter 61 and the verse 10. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Friends, the words have kept coming to me. Words of the hymn writer, I know they are, but they are very special and blessed. Yesterday and today, the words have kept coming to me. Righteousness to the believer, freely given, God the giver. And oh, friends, this is all what poor sinners need. Righteousness to the believer. Are you a believer? Am I a believer? Are we brought to be a true believer? One of the hymn writers says, a wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. Now that sacred theme, and I've looked it up in the hymn book. It's hymn number 104, Heart, Dear Joseph Hart's hymn. It's so sacred, the language of it. Righteousness to the believer, freely given, comes from heaven, God himself the giver. Christ has wrought the mighty wonder. God and man by him can meet and never sunder. So I trust I can say, friends, as the first verse in the chapter, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You know what we've been singing. Yeah, it seemed a sweet witness of the Holy Spirit in that one led to pray as we did, coming toward the Amen. And then there at the top of the hymn was the very words of the verses of Scripture that dear Paul the Apostle wrote to the Romans in chapter 7. And then the beginning of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But listen, it goes on, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you know, it's the grace of God that enables sinners to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are in the flesh, and the lusts of the flesh are a great trouble and sorrow to us, but you see, because we are given and do possess a new man, the new man of grace, it's in the new man of grace where you are in mourning, in sorrow, in concern and feel solemnly how you are as a person, how the old nature, how it is so strong and so against the things of God and grace. And we are in our old nature enemies to God and godliness. But oh, friends, think of it more as God may help you. He has given you a new heart, a new nature, the new man, the wonderful witness of it, that there is no agreement between the old man and the new man and the old can in no wise agree, because there's mourning for sin. God brings conviction of sin upon his people. He makes them know what they earn, feel their guilt and sin, the ship, and mourn over their sins, and after Christ they're made mourners. Oh, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. And you know, in this, in the way of God dealing with his people are brought to need salvation. They're brought to know how totally unrighteous, how wicked and unrighteous they are because of their old nature. There's so much going on in it. We hope by grace we're changed and stopped in our wild career. I look back 60 years to when I was stopped in my wild career, friends, and it's nothing but God's grace alone that has kept me to this day. Grace has kept me to this day, and I believe I can say tonight, will not let me go. And this is how we come to this, and God has put it in our heart to come before you with tonight. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I believe I can express that, friends, for what he's wonderfully done in me and for me, and what he's done in some dear precious souls he's given me. But oh, with you here, I bring it as a message. This is what the Lord has purposed to bring precious souls here into, to be able to sigh and to acknowledge it. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. And so, friends, to be brought to be able to say, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Oh, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. You've been brought to so know and solemnly feel the guilt and the fact that you're clothed with filthy garments according to your nature, according to that that the old man is and the reality of it, but you're aware of it. God makes his people aware of it. And he shows them. He shows them themselves. Oh, he shows his people. I pray for this, for souls, for our own loved ones and many others. I pray for this, that the Lord would deal with people, young people and older ones too, that he would show them themselves and show them himself. I believe, I know by experience, this is the way God works when he works a work of grace, when he begins it and carries it on. He shows his people themselves what they really are. And he shows them himself. And the two great, vastly different ways of this, what is seen and known, is he shows them themselves what they are, lost, hell-deserving sinners. But he shows them himself, God, as a holy, holy, holy God. But if he does this, and so in this way makes a soul deeply concerned about how they stand before God, because they must all appear before God. The judgment day is before every one of humanity. And friends, when God shows his people these things, they know all they can do is cry to God for mercy. Be brought to be like the publican. God, be merciful to me. And you'll say, I believe, not a sinner, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm a sinner, Lord. And oh, I can only plead for mercy. Thou art so high, so holy, so great. Thy majesty and power. And oh, I feel so vile and undone and hopeless and helpless. All I can do, and I beg, Lord, for mercy. Mercy. And as God goes on to teach and reveals more the wonderful way of salvation, he, as it were, opens up the wonderful things of his grace and his way of saving souls to poor sinner who's in such a state of hopelessness and helplessness that he begins to reveal his wonderful way of salvation. This is how he clothes people with the garments of salvation. He brings them to know the wonderful way of salvation. It's God's way of salvation by divine substitution, that God has provided the remedy for sin, that God has provided all what is needed for the child of God to be saved and prepared and taken home to heaven at last. The Lord does it all. He must do it all. He's Alpha and Omega. He must be first and last and be all through the experience of the work of grace in a child of God. The favour, friends, is he brings a child of God to be able to say, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. The Lord has done it. Some of you look back, as I look back 60 years, to when the late Enos Adley spoke to me outside Sethel Chapel, and the power in the words, it was not the man, it was the power of God, God speaking. And you know, here really, these words are not really the words of the prophet. These words are the words of the church. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. The church, the individual people of God, children of God who make up the church of God. This is an acknowledgement of those that are blessed, those that are favoured, those that are brought to be in the way of the wonderful God's way of salvation, him working in them, teaching them, dealing with them. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. This is the church speaking. This is individuals of the church of God. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. And the Lord is, of course, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But let us not forget, given of God his Holy Father, the God the Father gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the church. Are you one of them? Am I one of them? Are we one of these favoured characters who make up the church of God, who can say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Oh, what he teaches and gives and favours his people with, to know and be in the secret of, named here as the garments of salvation. That which is so given us to show, to be witnessing of what God has done to bring us out of deep, awful sorrow and concern and worry and a feeling of hopeless. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation so that I have hope. I have hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. Raised to a hope. Blessed to begin to believe and to hope in Jesus Christ. That there's mercy for sinners. There's hope for the lost. Come crying for mercy. No sinner shall ever be empty sent back, who come seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Clothe me with the garments of salvation, so that it is seen there's a difference. The character is changed in the way that there's a witness that the Lord has been at work in that soul. Now, where is it with you and me? Are we clothed with the garments of salvation? Are we raised in some measure to a hope? Is Jesus Christ precious? Is it that powerful effect of the work of the Spirit in us has made us to differ so that we are witnessing that we are changed, called by grace. He's changed the heart, he's renewed the will, and he's turned our feet to Zion's hill. And we come to the house of God in a way now different to what we used to. We come for our soul, we come to worship God for what he's done in us and for us, for the hope he's given us, clothed with the garments of salvation, giving witness, evidence in the reality of what God has effected in us by the work of the Spirit in us. So we can rightly and will rightly acknowledge, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. As I look back the 60 years, friends, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. And you know, he brings us to the place where we're made. It was a terrible time in the early days with some of us when we was under the terrible condemnation of the law, the terrors of the law. And we were hopeless and helpless and feeling justly condemned and expecting to be cast into that place where hope and mercy never can come. But the Lord, in great mercy, at his time of his appearing, raised us to a hope and gave us to begin to be able to believe in Jesus Christ, revealed his dear beloved Son, formed his beloved Son in our hearts, a hope of glory. We look back and we greatly rejoice now that he did apply a solemn law work to us to make us feel our need of the Saviour and the way Christ is made so precious, because there is no other way, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is absolutely no other way. Oh, it's Jesus only. None but Jesus. I love dear Joseph Hart's themes. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And he clothes us with that favour to know it and believe it. And we show it forth because this is how he's made us. And we are in this way witnessing as Christians, true Christians. Am I made a real Christian will be your concern. Washed in the Redeemer's blood, have I union with the churches living in? And oh, this is witness that we are, because our hope's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so I believe this acknowledgement of the garments of salvation, he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, is all what is given the child of God to know and to show forth through God working in them, that from the beginning, the work of grace, witnessing the child of God needs salvation and has some favour of being raised to a hope in God's great salvation. Hope in Jesus Christ. Oh, the favour of it. But the further words are so wonderfully much greater and much more wonderful. And we pray for God to grant us help to acknowledge them tonight and know them tonight. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Oh, friends, righteousness to the believer. All the law in human nature, a fulfilled, reconciled creature and creator, everyone without exemption that believes now receives absolute redemption. Robe of righteousness imputed, white and whole, clothe the soul, each exactly suited. 'Tis a way of God's own finding. 'Tis his act, and the fact cannot but be binding. Here is no prevarication. Justice stands and demands full and free salvation. The child of God, the righteousness of Christ. Above the hymn it says the same. And the previous hymn, the imputed righteousness of Christ. Friends, we all need it. And I believe God has purpose to grant it to his people. Now, are we really concerned for it, seeking it, needing it? And has God blessed you with it? The favour of it, you know and feel so much more and more, you're all unholy and unclean. Nothing but the filth of sin. This is how we are in ourselves. God, in great love and mercy, his purpose to make us white and clean. Clothe me. He hath clothed me with the garment, with the robe of righteousness. He hath covered me. Covered. Covered me with the robe of righteousness. And that means all your sins, all your filth, all your defilement, all the wickedness of our natural old wicked heart. And God, there's the redemption. It's the price paid, forgiveness, pardon, and this wonderful covering. This wonderful covering of the royal robe of righteousness. In a sense, the word cover. What Jesus Christ has fully accomplished covers all. For the poor child of God, it is the remedy for everything. The remedy for sin, the remedy is without us. See it in the Saviour's blood. And then his covering us with the robe of righteousness. What he wrote out. Notice it was what I mentioned in reading those verses. You see, it says, and oh, how amazing, wonderful it is that the Lord, he lived his life, he walked this earth, went about doing good, and what he was doing in all his perfect, spotless obedience, keeping the whole law of God, he was, as it were, weaving the royal robe of righteousness for his people to be adorned with. You can see it in the way of what we read in the psalm concerning the king's daughter is all glorious within. She shall be brought before the king in raiment of needlework. That raiment of needlework is the righteousness brought out completely, weaving the garment. And woe by everlasting love, the love of God. Oh, the righteousness that Christ wrought out in his life, and by his death and glorious resurrection, the complete finishing of all for his people, that his people should be saved, pardoned, forgiven, blessed, redeemed, justified by faith in him. Oh, the wonderful garment, sacred theme indeed, 'tis the garment. Woe by everlasting love. I look back to the days when we were set at liberty and we sung these things, the sacredness of them. 'Tis the garment, woe by everlasting love, the righteousness of Christ that God imputes to his people. And you know, feeling like a dear friend and brother's hymn so much expressed, you know, and we tried to remember it in praying, not that we knew that he was going to give it out, but to remember the actual reality of what it speaks of in the hymn we've sung. You know, that's how Paul was, wasn't it, when he cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But what is so wonderful to me, and has been many years as I pondered it, and to all God's people, I believe it is, that the dear apostle was by grace able to immediately acknowledge, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And then there's this, so with the mind served by the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. And then there is therefore now no condemnation. I think of it in the way as we've sung that hymn, you know. And that last verse is very blessed, isn't it? And I could say, I trust to you, friends, in a way as I believe the Holy Spirit gives me it. There is now, therefore now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's not that they will live an easy life now. It will really sanctify them and bless them and make them feel so much even more accountable to God to live unto his praise. But friends, oh, the liberty, the joy, the wonderful joy and peace in believing. When the Holy Spirit seals pardon, the Holy Spirit so blesses, like we've considered, clothed with the garments of salvation, and then the highest, more high and wonderful height of it, he hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, and as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. And oh, how blessed souls are when they are so blessed in these ways. And you hear, as the hymn writer says as well, when you see by faith Christ on the cross for you, suffering in your room, place instead, see the holy purple stream, his holy blood running from hands and feet, and then afterwards from his holy side. And oh, friends, how then to hear the blessed Spirit say, oh, this was done for you. And to know that he has so done all, and then crying, it is finished, and giving up the ghost and laid in the grave. And then the third day rose triumphant o'er the grave. And to be brought to this wonderful, highest point of favour, he rose again for his people's justification, that all our sins that are such a burden to us that we go on committing in our old nature through our old wicked heart, they're all atoned for. They're all blotted out. In Isaiah, this prophecy, we read the words God speaking to as regarding his people, each of them. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy sins. They are to be remembered no more forever. The favour of this, friends, and the Holy Spirit applies it, blesses sinners with it, seals it to them, seals redemption to their very hearts and souls, and their favour to know that peace that comes when the favour of pardon is known, forgiveness, the peace that flows into their heart. Now they are so brought to know that blessed peace, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Oh, that wonderful peace. Peace by his cross as Jesus made. The power in his holy precious blood to blot out sin, put away sin into the land of forgetfulness for God's people. And they know the peace that flows in with pardon sin. Peace. He says, I leave with you my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. No, we are sinners still, but we're under the blood. Blessed to be under the blood. The Holy Spirit makes application. The blessed Spirit giving faith, this favour of true believing. Oh, the favour of believing. You know, it's come to me so many times it's been in my heart the last few days, righteousness to the believer. And here we felt so humbled, so melted that God did make us to become a believer, and we hope we can say we believe to the saving of our soul. You think of how John testified in his first epistle. He speaks of these favours, friends, of God's love, the love of Christ. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love him because he first loved us. So he hath covered me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness. I will greatly rejoice. You know, God's people, right from when the Lord begins to deal with them, they become and they continue to be mourners over their sins and after Christ, and even knowing it in some measure, experiencing it, knowing it, and they are even sometimes brought to pray, like the hymn writer puts it, O Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. Further, of course, the prospect, when my mourning days are all, enjoy thy comforts evermore in heaven, to be with Christ, which is far better. And so God's people are being taught by the Spirit, and they will be mourners, but there will be wonderful times, a time and or more times, according to the sovereignty of God, when his people will be brought to rejoice and be in the favour of believing, rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Paul puts it clear right into the Philippians. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. But that rejoicing, friends, is such a favour. Oh, are you able to rejoice? Let us rejoice. Sin forgiven, glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. We have reason to rejoice. Oh, there is reason. Is there reason for you to rejoice, for me to rejoice? It will be upon what God has done in us and for us, what Christ has wrought and completed for us, and how the Spirit has blessed us to know and taste redeeming love. To know the favours of partaking of Christ by faith, feeding upon the Paschal Lamb. This is what will bring us to this wonderful place of favour, rejoicing. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my Saviour, my dear Redeemer. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord God, God Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to save our souls are all concerned. I believe the child of God will become so much more and more thankful to God, their Heavenly Father, that he ever took them in hand, that in his holy covenant love, according to his sovereign purposes of love and mercy, he began to work in us. Oh, and you can say, and I can say, I trust, I believe all that are called by grace and being taught and blessed by God will be able to say it was not the will of man. My soul's new heavenly birth began. You won't be perhaps able to go to the very spot and place. I want to humbly acknowledge it, I can. But friends, the wonderful fact that you will know there's a difference. You know you're not where you once were because of what God's doing in you and for you, and because of how he's dealing with you in love and mercy, and he's teaching you. He may chastise, and that's an evidence of sonship, that sons and daughters of his will be chastised. He will, your Father. I greatly rejoice in the Lord God, my Heavenly Father, for he doesn't leave me to go my own way. He chastens me, he corrects me, He brings me to solemnly realise how I've slept and fallen, and how I have to come into grieving, feeling grief and sorrow more and more again because of what I am. But oh, he favours me to know. He's telling me, teaching me. He's giving witness of his love to me, his love and mercy, his loving kindness. He is dealing with me to so make me what I must be made by God, by his grace, not what I can try to make myself to be, because that would be always according to being more and more sinful. But oh, the Lord sanctifies. He has a purpose to make his people holy. And of course it is all what Christ has done makes them holy. And also the way of the Spirit working to give us to desire holiness and to have the favour of it as God grants us it. And so the favour, friends, of I will greatly rejoice in the Lord for what he's done. My soul shall be joyful in my God, because everything my God has done for me is in love and mercy, in love and not in anger, to give me an expected end. It is the same with all God's people. It is that he does work in this way, to not in anger, even when he chastens, when he chides, when he even may bring rigorous chastening, painful chastening, because it's needed. But the Lord is doing it in love and mercy. I would greatly rejoice that the true and living God, my great God and Father, and by the Spirit working and causing me to more and more need Jesus Christ, it is that he does everything in love, in his purpose of sovereign love and mercy for me. Can you grasp it, friends, in some measure according to what God grants you to know, the favour of it, and we to witness it, we to praise God, we to rejoice, we to thank God for what he has done for us, that he does not leave us to ourselves. He does not leave us to our own ways. He chastens, he knows the way to bring us back, and he does it, always does it, because he will never lose a soul whom he has loved and whom he has begun in. He will never relinquish at last a sinner once signally blessed. He will keep them. He will keep them safe. Safe. He folds them. He finds them and folds them and guards them from harms. He does, friends. I'm a witness of it. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Everything in self and in the veil of tears, everything in the ways of the natural man to be sad about. But I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God because of what we know by sovereign grace, because of what we know by God dealing with us, God working in us. Wonderful words there so often in my mind, what the apostle wrote to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We look back, one looks back to the time, that day, when the Lord begun that good work. It didn't seem to be like that then. We didn't know what we were doing, what he was doing with us, where we were, what we were, we didn't know. It was so solemn, and yet, oh, it was such a change. And we witness it now as God saw us before, how we were, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh how great. His loving kindness to stop us in our wild career. His loving kindness to change our heart, renew our will. I'll greatly rejoice. I have nothing else I would want to do. I must rejoice in it, be thankful for it, praise God for it. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, even though much of what we had to know in those early days was very, very hard and solemn and awful to our natural mind. And the holy, just and righteous God was a terror to our mind. But this is the difference, friends. He's not a terror to our mind now. And that's what Paul says in Romans 7. You know, the just and holy God, when we were under those early things of God's teaching, was a terror to our mind. But, oh, you know, that was not in God's purpose for that to continue. For that to continue only the terrors. For it's true what one put, laws and terrors do but harden. All the while they work alone. But a sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves a heart of stone. And it's God's purpose to bring that blessed sense of blood-bought pardon, his people to know it, he to grant it, and them to know and taste redeeming love, to know the favours that come through Christ's sacrifice, through the blessed favour of grant of faith, to believe, faith in the bleeding lamb. This is the way of God, that his people might not continue to be under laws and terrors that do but harden, but to be brought up into hope and raised to hope, and in this time to liberty, to joy and peace in believing, so that thus they live, not now feeling and knowing God as a holy, just and righteous God and as a terror to our mind, not now. No, he's our Heavenly Father, kind and gracious God. I think of in my early days when I was regularly wanted to be in the house of God and here in the prayer meetings at Hope Stockfold, and the late dear Mr. Christian, dear David Christian's father, when he used to pray, it was so, seemed so sacred to a young man, it was to me, how he used to pray, and he would address God, kind and gracious God. You know, there was a time, some time, a year or so, when I couldn't really understand that kind and gracious God. But when the Lord raised me to hope and revealed Christ to me and showed me that it was that conviction that I knew that made me really need the Saviour, oh, how I could feel such love then to the dear man as he prayed, kind and gracious God. And oh, how we know our God is so kind and gracious, so merciful, and we are so unworthy of his mercy and his love and his kindness, his loving kindness. Oh, we can say now, oh, how full, oh, how free. And oh, as I quoted, he saw me ruined in the fall. But his love from everlasting to everlasting, the love of God to his people. I want to come to a point, friends, and I believe I'm in it, friends. I don't want to say it in a wrong, boastful way. But I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Oh, I want my heart's desire for every one of you is that the blessed Spirit will grant you tonight. And I believe he is granting some of you it. Grant you to be able to say this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. You see how personal it is. It's personal acknowledgement. It's personal, really personally testifying, acknowledging. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. And then this, the reason, the basis for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. The reality of it, friends. The witness of it. What he has done. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Further explaining, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. God does it. He does it. It doesn't mean the child of God, those of the males of the sons of God are the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. But as a bridegroom, the Lord does it. They don't have to put it on themselves. The Lord does it. They can't put it on themselves. They can't clothe themselves. They can't cover themselves. God does it all. God does all the work of grace. And he does these things for his people. And it's all free grace. Free mercy. Free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. The Lord does it. For he hath covered me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Well, friends, is this true concerning you? Some will say, I want to know it. But are there those of you that you do know it? God has blessed you. He has favoured you. As we preach these things tonight, it takes you back. What you have known, what he has done. It may be you've been praying, the Lord may renew those former favours. The Lord may bless you with the wonderful favour of liberty again that you perhaps, you can, I hope you can, acknowledge you did know. I have had many times since I was set at liberty in 1964 when I've had to beg the Lord, oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Visit me with thy free spirit. And oh, he has renewed. I can say at this time now he's renewed it even more than he's ever renewed it before. You see, it's such blessed favour to be in liberty, and we can only rejoice, we must rejoice. It says, I will greatly rejoice because of the favour. And oh, I tell you this, friends, it makes us feel to be absolutely self-renouncing. It makes us feel to be in amazement and wonder that God has done such things for us. We have absolutely to acknowledge, not unto us. We have to acknowledge that it's free grace, by the grace of God. I am what I am. It's nothing of self, it's all of him. It makes him to be the highest one. There's a lovely theme in one of the hymns. Jesus takes the highest station. He does, friends. He must do. He will do. And oh, we to be submissive to him. And to be desirous to show love in return to him. It's the power of God's love that will kindle love in you, to make returns of love again to your Saviour. I pray for this, I watch for this, I wait for this, I pray for it personally, that I may not live any way loosely and in a way of neglectfulness. The words of the Word of God search me much. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And oh, really, how sad and grieving to our Saviour it is if we neglect to obey his voice. That hymn, blessed hymn, lovely theme, immortal honours, it finishes, obey his voice, and all his will esteem. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening and Mr. Pack on Tuesday evening. Let us close by singing part of hymn 782. We'll sing the first 6 verses and the last verse. The Lord assured the chosen race, from Egypt's bondage brought, they should obtain the promised place and find the rest they sought. 782, the first 6 verses and the last verse.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything amiss in our service. Do own and bless thy word, Lord. Oh, continue with the friends here. Lead them on. Lead us each on. Lead us in the way everlasting. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.